This is Scott Becker with the Becker Group Business Strategy Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Larry Chester. Larry's the founder of CFO Simplified. He's also somewhat of a serial entrepreneur who's had great success in business. Larry, let me take a moment and ask you to introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Larry Chester, as you said. I'm from the Midwest. I grew up in Milwaukee, lived in Chicago for a long time. I was a corporate CFO for 25 years, and about 12 years ago started my consulting practice as providing part-time CFO services for small to mid-sized companies. And about 5 years ago, I started hiring people to work for me, providing those same services. And now I've got five full-time people, full-time CFOs working for me throughout the Chicago area and the Midwest. And we also provide QuickBooks bookkeeping services, and we do some executive search as well.
Well, congratulations on the growth of this, the transition from sort of corporate CFO to your own consulting business to outsourcing CFOs. Congratulations.
Thank you.
In terms of starting your own business and getting going again, your best advice for someone starting a business?
I think the most important thing is to find something that you not only like, but something that you have experience in. I always get concerned about people who look at opportunities that they just have no experience in at all. And then beyond that, determine that there's a market for what you want to do. If you, as somebody told me once, he said, it's great to go out and go fishing, but if there aren't any fish in the lake, you're kind of wasting your time. And I think there's an analogy in business that you can create a product, you can create a service, but if nobody's interested in paying for it, you know, it's really not what you want to do. And then go ahead.
No, go ahead and finish that, and I'll go to a follow-up question about the finding a market, but go ahead with what you were saying.
Yeah, I would then find the least expensive way of getting into it, because even though you may think it's a great idea, you may not literally be hitting finding the gold ring. So having the least expensive way of getting into it is important. And then being able to test it out on a small scale to make sure that it really does work, and then building from there.
So several great pieces of advice. You know, one is making sure it's an area that you sort of know. Two, that there's really a market for. Third is to get started on a small scale or inexpensive scale if possible. And fourth is to find a way to test it, are some of the things I heard from you. Let me ask you a follow-up question, because you've found a great market, a market that, for whatever reason, seems very ripe right now, this market of sort of outsourced financial services, outsourced CFO services. Why is that is such a healthy market right now? How did that happen and why?
Well, I think business has become more complex. And I think that there is a lot of data that is available for any business and for a business owner. And to a large extent, I think people go into business because they either have a passion for a product or have a passion for a customer base. They don't do it because they understand financials. You know, like I said, nobody ever graduated with an MBA and said, I know how to read a financial statement. We should start a business. So being in a position where you have that information available, really, I think a lot of business owners are understanding that they need to find somebody to help guide them through those numbers so that they can make the right decisions going forward.
Are the businesses you work with typically those that have an internal accounting staff as well, or are you the outsourced accounting staff, or what's that balance of how you're working with businesses?
I think every client that we have has an internal accounting staff. The question is how deep that staff is and what they're doing. There's a difference between tactical accounting and finance work, or really tactical accounting work, and strategic finance work. And so generally speaking, the clients that we have people who do accounts payable, receivable, invoicing, payroll, inventory control, those kinds of things. But they don't really have anybody who's doing cash flow forecasting, financial planning, deep profitability analysis, cost analysis on new products and business opportunities, working with the bank in terms of solidifying the banking relationship, doing some kind of a deep trend analysis on how the company's been doing. And those kind of analytical chores are really things that allow a business owner to make a decision today that's going to affect his profitability tomorrow. Looking at your payables is not necessarily going to tell you how you're going to make your business better. It's something that you need, but the strategic financial advice is a different story entirely. And the people that we work with, that our clients, don't have that strategic knowledge in-house.
And typically, is your client coming from a direct referral? Is it coming from a bank referral? Is it coming from the CFO or the founder himself or herself? Where does your typical client come from? Is sort of the next question.
Yeah, a lot of times it comes from it comes from one of three sources primarily. It comes from either a bank who knows that a company is not working up to their potential. It comes from sometimes from an accounting firm who's doing their tax work, but really feels they need something more detailed, more direct on a operational accounting basis. Or interestingly enough, it a lot of times comes from a lawyer, because what I found is that when business owners run into trouble or have issues, a lot of times the lawyer is the first person they call to get advice, which is kind of interesting.
In a question on your typical engagement, is it a long-term, multi-year engagement? Does it start as a small engagement, go for years, or is it typically episodic, where somebody needs you for an acute service or issue?
Yes, you know, our business model is really to provide long-term advice for the client, to get to learn the client, the owner, as an individual and what his goals are, and the business and where he's going. So most of our clients are long-term clients. We've had clients for over, I have several clients we've had for over 3 years. And so our role is really to provide advice for them anywhere from 2 days a week to 1 day a month. And then we are regular members of the team. They plan their management meetings around when we're going to be there so that we can be there as part of that management team during those meetings. And we have an ongoing direct relationship, not only with the owner of the business, but with the management staff across the board.
And so you have the great business of really matching up great customers or clients of yours with great team members of yours. And is the bigger challenge today finding great customers or finding great talent? Which is the bigger challenge in today's world?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I think being a part-time CFO is different than being a regular employee, because there's certainly a lot more stress. There's a lot more creativity. You've got to be quick on your feet, because you walk into a business that maybe you haven't seen in 5 days or in 3 weeks, and you've got to be prepared to be totally knowledgeable and ready to act. And I find that there are certain CFOs that I talk to who really aren't in tune with that concept. They're not able to move quickly enough to be able to fit into our model. I think that there are a lot of companies that could use our advice and really haven't thought about it or feel they can get by without having us. You know, they've done okay for the last 10 years. Why should they hire somebody to do this now? And I think the market's always changing. If you're not looking at how your business could change to do better, I think the market, the business market, is going to leave you behind.
Some people that provide outsourced services like you do, sort of the outsourced CFO services, find some pushbacks from internal accounting, you know, who say, we don't really need that. That's just going to be another person looking over my shoulders. What's the status on that? Is there tension there or not particularly?
You know, I don't really think so, because we many times work as mentors for the ongoing staff, helping them do their job better, giving them advice on how they could streamline the work that they're doing, the workflow that they're working with. I have never been in a situation, well, really never is a long time, but I think there's only been one situation that I remember where we went into a company and made the decision that somebody had to go. And we recommended to the owner that they look at changing out that person in that position. And that was really rare. Usually what ends up happening is they ask us to evaluate the staff that's there and then ask us what they can do to improve that person's performance. I never am interested in just making a wholesale change in any staff at a company level.
Great. And you've had this great career that you've transitioned from internal corporate CFO to your own consulting business to now an outsourcing business of CFOs and a whole team that you've put together. How do you keep yourself motivated over the long run? What gets you going? What keeps you excited?
You know, I think the primary thing for me is to have a good work-life balance. I have my entire family. I've got three daughters and seven plus grandchildren. My daughter's going to have her fourth child. One of my daughters is going to have her fourth child in another 2 weeks. So I'll be working on eight grandchildren then. And I think making sure that there's enough time to spend time with them as a break from the work that I do. But also, I like what I do. I like going out and meeting people and telling them our story, and also being that detective. Every business owner has issues that he needs to face, and the question is, can I help them? Are there things that I can do to make their company more profitable, to give them relief from whatever pain it is that they're feeling, whether it be that they, you know, don't understand what's happening with their cash flow, or they have a bad relationship with their bank that they want to fix, or their sales and profitability has been dropping off. I mean, if you can take a company and a business owner and give them the solution to their problems, I mean, isn't that just the best deal in the world all the way around?
That's fantastic. And inspiration to go with motivation. Anybody that you've looked at that over time has inspired you?
You know, it's kind of interesting. My grandfather came to this country in the early 1900s. He stowed away aboard a boat from Russia at the age of 11 and landed in Galveston, Texas, and learned to speak English by working in a bakery at the sales counter and in the back, and ended up, when he grew older, starting a bakery of his own, and ended up owning a chain of three bakeries in Denver, Colorado. I mean, you talk about a success story and coming with absolutely nothing, taking a chance and moving forward. I mean, I don't think there's anything that I could hear or see that would inspire me more than that. And that's my family.
Isn't that amazing? And isn't it amazing how many people don't realize that Galveston was one of the real original entry points for that generation?
Right.
I don't think many people are aware of that.
No, I think you're right.
Well, fascinating. And the flip side of motivation and inspiration, have you had any setbacks professionally, personally? What did they teach you, and how did you recover from those?
Wow. You know, I think every company faces setbacks. I think the issue is, what do you do to get your way out of that? I think there was a point in time a number of years ago, kind of in the midpoint of my practice before I started hiring people to work for me, where I had really gotten lazy in terms of marketing my company. I had one client that I was working for 4 days a week, and I just kind of leaned back on those laurels. And one day they called me and said, "Today's your last day. We don't need you anymore." And to walk out of that office and realize that I didn't have any opportunities, any prospects, I hadn't been doing any marketing because I've been working for them for 4 months. That was kind of a rude awakening for me. So at that point, you have to make a decision of what you're going to do, you know? And it was a matter of really putting my head on straight and realizing that sitting back and just having one client and depending on them for my livelihood was probably not the best idea in the world. So that's when I started going out and working with multiple companies, and I started pushing to find more clients.
And how long did it take you from that situation? That's always sort of a very challenging situation. You know, you've lost your big client or your one client, and now you got to go out and find business. How long did it take you to recover from that? And what did you learn in doing so?
Well, to be honest with you, it took me about 4 months to find a new client. That really was the start of the business that I have today. And I think the thing that I learned more than anything else was that you've got to continually keep selling. There is no company that I know of that can sit fat and happy, no matter how many clients they have, or no matter how loyal those companies are to them, just sit there comfortable with their current situation and say, I don't need to do any more. I'm comfortable with where we're at. And I think that was the big thing for me. I know now that no matter how many clients I have, no matter how many hours a week I'm billing, I have to keep pushing. I have to keep finding that next client. I had somebody a year ago that I was at a networking meeting, and he said, I told him I was looking for new clients. And he said, well, how many clients are you looking for? As if there was going to be a finite number, you know. And I said, I'm looking for all of them. I mean, isn't that the case for any business? You're looking for all the customers out there. You're not just looking for one or two. And I think that's the big
lesson. And there's a lot of great lessons in that. I mean, one is I hear somebody interviewing for a job and they say, well, I don't need to interview for another one right now because I'm interviewing for that one. I'm like, no, you better interview for a few just in case. And right. One of the best pieces of advice I got early on in business was when things are going good is when you better keep on marketing and selling, because it's much easier to grow the business when it's going well than when it's not. So I think a lot of great thoughts there. And so you've got now, I think, 7 grandkids working on number 8. And if you had to give advice to your grandkids as to, you know, most of our kids won't listen to us directly, but there's a good chance your grandkids will. What's the top key to success in business and in life? What would you tell them?
I would tell them always concentrate on the positive. No matter what happens, no matter how bad things are or may seem at the time, no, that's just an opportunity to be able to concentrate on the things that have been going well. I don't think anybody's life or anything that has happened has had such a bad downturn that everything is horrible. There's always something good that you can concentrate on and think about. And I think that plays to positive attitude. And if you have a positive attitude, you can do just about anything. If you have a bad attitude, who's going to listen to you? Nobody wants to hear your problems. I had a boss who told me once, he said, never tell anybody your problems. Half the people could care less, and the other half will be glad you got what you had coming. I mean, the reality is that nobody wants to hear about your problems. They have problems of their own. So if you focus on the things that are going well for you, whether that be your health, your family, the weather outside, the garden that you just planted, whatever it is, feel good about that. And I think that positive feeling will start growing and encompass more and more of your life as you move forward.
Well, we think that is magnificent advice. And I love the advice your former colleague gave you about people hearing about your problems, that I'm not sure I characterize this exactly right, but certainly no one cares. And those that do care are probably happy you have them, is probably actually, unfortunately, a true statement. But I love the concept of looking at the optimistic side and being positive. There's no substitute for it. Larry, it's just a great pleasure visiting with you. If people want to reach you, how can they reach you?
Well, they can call my phone number. My number is 224-436-1600, or they can go to our website, which is cfosimplified.com, and there's a direct link there to my email. They can send me an email directly there.
Great. I want to thank you for joining us today. You're obviously have great insights, great thoughts, and terrifically articulate. So thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll look forward to visiting with you again in the future. Thank you.
Scott, it was my pleasure. Thank you very much.